The good,
the good,
the bad,
and the ugly,
the ugly, with Terence Pillay.
Terence, you arrived just in time to watch me turn into a teenage girl. I watched the Taylor Swift's new music video, and I've just become so Irma-gird.
Oh,
I've become Irma-gird.
I cannot unsee.
Let me try and pull myself towards myself. We're talking the blame game. Who is responsible for all the plastic? Because we do every 3-4 times a year, we do a big beach cleanup, normally after the rains. We're always talking about the plastic on the top of the ocean, in the ocean, the microplastics now, which is an even bigger problem. We're finding it in all of our food. But you want to talk about who do we blame?
So let me paint the picture first, right? Yeah. Like last week we commemorated World Environment Day and World Ocean Day. And for one day at least, people were reminded just how important it is to protect our planet.
Yes.
We all have this idea that we're doing good by recycling. And to be fair, it is a good thing.
Mm.
Everybody has to try. Separate your plastic from your tin, glass, paper, whatever, regular trash.
Reuse whatever you can.
And put it out in appropriate colored bags. But do you ever wonder where all this actually goes to?
Mm.
A friend sent me a very emotive video that was done by a young mobile journalist called Yusuf Omar. Mm-hmm. And together with a group of young people, they dealt with a hectic spill of plastic of all shapes and sizes and kinds on the Durban Golden Mile after the recent heavy rains. The video, which is part of a series called Hashtag Our Stories, shows in graphic detail just how much plastic waste makes its way into our oceans and eventually onto the shoreline as well. And what these young people were doing was calling on businesses to take back their waste.
Mm. I remember the video. It was very good.
Yeah, they basically called out all the companies that are packaging their products in plastic that makes its way into landfills and even worse, our oceans, compromising both humans and animals.
So cutting out the middleman. The middleman is the litterer next to the rivers or within the inland.
Yes.
But we're saying, you guys that make the plastic
going
containers
to source.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. They also call out big-name manufacturers who are making millions of rands in profit but aren't investing any of it in cleaning up the mess, which they're ultimately responsible.
Mm-hmm.
For they also say that people often blame informal settlements and townships for plastic pollution that ends up on the beaches. But the reality is that the problem is largely due to poor service delivery, lack of education, lack of facilities, lack of adequate ways to put away the rubbish. And the figure they quoted in was something to the tune of 8 million metric tons of plastic that ends up in our oceans every
thousand
year.
Tons. Yearly.
Yearly. That ends up in our oceans. And they called on people to refuse plastic, refuse the plastic, forcing manufacturers now and producers to change. So the big question is, who is actually responsible? Yes, communities need to be educated and they need to take responsibility from a dumping of waste point of view.
I must tell you, I do kind of feel a little bit disheartened when I put out my little bag of plastic and I'm thinking, yeah, this will make its dent in the 8 million thousand metric tons of plastic that goes into the ocean. I do feel disheartened. I try to do my bit, but I'm like,
but every bit helps, right? You know, ultimately, shouldn't we be taking a harder line on the source of the plastic? For example, I think businesses that use plastic packaging and plastic bags should go back to the drawing board and come up with more environmentally friendly alternatives. And government should move a little faster on this legislation that they were putting forward that would ban plastic outright, in particular plastic shopping bags.
Is it Canada or some country has now officially this month banned single-use plastics for everything across the board? I think one or two countries have done that now.
Yeah.
It's the ban across the board. Single-use plastics from sachets to plastic bags to straws to earbuds. Yeah. Everything that is a single-use plastic has been banned.
So
that is the root, I think.
We've been talking about that here for a long time, you know. But there are lots of stores now that don't supply plastic bags or plastic straws to customers anymore. And that's a good thing, but they're charging the earth for the alternatives. Mm. At the end of the day, you want me to support your store, then provide me with the biodegradable paper bags like you did with the plastic bags. And coming up, we're going to talk about ultimately where does this buck stop.
Nice. The blame game. In the plastic pollution of our planet.
The good,
the good,
the bad,
the bad,
and
the ugly,
the ugly, with Terence Pillay.
The buck stops where, Terence Pillay, as far as litter is concerned, certainly plastic litter on our planet.
So, I mean, that's what we're asking, right? Ultimately, where does the buck stop? Mm. Is it with the manufacturers of plastic bags and packaging or with retailers?
Or does it go as far as leaders of entire countries who claim that that these things are Chinese conspiracies? Where does the buck stop?
Exactly. Or is it with the individual that uses it and doesn't recycle or discards it in a way that prevents it from ending up in the oceans? Mm-hmm. Or is it with government that doesn't seem to have the backbone to actually take a decision on removing plastic mm-hmm. altogether? So let's look at Kigali, for example. As a city, they've gone completely plastic-free.
Oh, wow.
It's by far the cleanest city in Africa. Mm-hmm. You see this. There's no litter anywhere.
Remind me again. Where's
litter
Kigali?
Anywhere in Rwanda.
Okay.
Whereas here, we haven't been nicknamed Dirtbin for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, our entire city is an absolute dirtbin.
Mm.
The fact is, we've become so dependent on plastic now. What did we use before?
Yeah.
Glass. But glass has become so difficult and expensive to manufacture. The other day, somebody who works in a manufacturing plant that uses glass told me that in a factory setup, if a bottle drops and cracks, they have to clear a 10-meter-wide area because of the risk of a shard of glass going into a food product and causing damage. And because it's so high, to stop all production and clear a 10-meter area to sort out an issue like this has huge cost implications.
Yeah, we can't negate the convenience and the cost of plastic. I get that.
So there are a lot of small businesses now who are making the effort. For example, you know, if you go into a shop that I know in Westville, you're encouraged to bring your own travel coffee cup.
Mm.
And they will sell you their coffee using your own cup. They will even give you a discount on your coffee if you don't use a disposable coffee cup.
Mm.
People often think coffee cups are made of paper and you can recycle them, but in many cases they coat them with wax because you don't want them to leak.
Mm.
And then it becomes really difficult to delaminate that wax to recycle them.
Yeah.
On the global scene, I read an article in The Guardian this week about the US being caught out apparently selling trash. So because they haven't been recycling properly, they just sell their trash to poor African countries that then just dump it into their landfill. So rather than processing their waste stateside, they pay somebody here to dispose it for them.
Mm.
In terms of recycling, for me, are the right people doing it? You have your middle to upper class. Now they all have these different bins with different colored bags and a service like DSW that comes and collects it and all is well. But if you look at the informal settlements in poor areas where people are more concerned with just getting a roof over their head and who don't necessarily have the same level of collection or formal roads and so on, it's far more difficult to get the message of recycling across to these areas. It would be in the interest of these communities, though, to actually set up a recycling depot so they can process their waste and perhaps at the same time even generate some revenue.
Yeah.
You know, from an environmental impact point of view, this is a huge issue, but there are other global issues that need awareness as well. I think we have spoken about this before as well, things like climate change. The interesting thing for me was it was about Norway's pension fund, which is one of the largest in the world, trillions of dollars. And they made a decision not to invest any of this in coal-based energy production companies, except for Shell and BP, because of the level of investment that those two companies are making in green energy. They are disinvesting from all other companies that are involved in the burning of coal or fossil fuels for the production of energy. I mean, we still have a long way to go here.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll get to a place where they start sanctioning entire countries who aren't compliant.
Yes, 100%. But we can start with something as small as recycling and refusing to buy products that are packaged in plastic that will eventually end up polluting our and killing our planet.
All right. So we'll let the big players know that we're watching them, we're judging them. But until then, let's just do our home. Do whatever we can from home.
Yes.
All right. You, me, Wendy, we're all in the same WhatsApp group.
100%.
Thank you, Terrence.
Darren Moore, Kerry Miller, and Sky Shabalala. Weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m.